Mysterious Circumstances is an American Crimecast production. Remember, everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Hey everybody, it's Justin. I am back with another episode of Mysterious Circumstances Podcast. Tonight we got a pretty interesting story for you. Technically, I guess you could put it in the classification of maybe an urban legend. The most interesting part about this urban legend is that it's actually documented by a few different people throughout history and has carried on for more than 400 years in two different countries that are across the world from one another. So you might find it pretty interesting. I did. I grew up watching Quantum Leap and bunch of kick-ass shows like that, so I found it very intriguing, and pretty much first what we're going to do is we're going to tell the story, and then from there we're going to get into the facts about it, and maybe try to draw a conclusion about what might have happened. The story we're going to talk about tonight is about a gentleman named Gil Perez, who is a Spanish soldier who supposedly teleported spontaneously from Manila, Philippines to Mexico City, Mexico back in 1593. All right, here we go. The story goes that Gil Perez was a Spanish soldier of the Filipino Civil Guard who allegedly suddenly appeared in a Plaza Mayor, which is now known as Zocalo, of Mexico City, which is actually right around 9,000 nautical miles from Manila, which would be directly across the Pacific, and that equals to about a little over, I believe, 14,000 kilometers. And this supposedly happened on October 24th, 1593. Now, he was basically on duty. He received his orders on the morning of October 23rd in Manila, and he basically showed up for duty at what they call the Palacio del Gobernador in the Philippines. Sorry, my Spanish is pretty fucking horrible. He was on sentry duty there. Like I said, he was actually Spanish. For those of you who don't know, back in the early 16th century, Spain pretty much went on an ass-kicking spree and just started expanding all of their horizons. And actually, I believe it was 1512 that they conquered Mexico. And I think it was that same year Magellan actually laid claim to the Philippines. So they actually had what you would refer to now as bases stationed pretty much all over the place. They actually used Philippines to Mexico was a trade route at the time. And a lot of historians doubt this story, I'm not going to lie. He basically was on duty for quite a few hours. He was tired, and at the time, he said that moments before finding himself in Mexico, when he was on sentry duty at the governor's palace, he was, His Excellency, the governor of the Philippines, whose name was Gomez Das Marinas, was killed by Chinese pirates. I hate using the word Chinese pirates because they weren't really pirates. They were actually the rowers on Das Marinas' ship. Now, Das Marinas, the governor of the Philippines at the time, was actually on a little bit of a secret mission. I'm pretty sure they sent three or four ships that were sailing around. They were sailing to Mexico, I believe. And Das Marinas, about 2 days after he left, was actually killed by the rowers who had been plotting to assassinate him for quite some time. There were actually some survivors of this, and this is actually straight up history. It's very well documented. Well, moments before Perez actually supposedly teleported, he had found out that the governor had been killed. Like I said, this is October 24th, 1593. He basically said that after a lot of hours on duty in Manila, he felt kind of dizzy and a little bit faint. So he leaned his back up against a wall and closed his eyes. Now, he said he only had his eyes closed for a few seconds, and he opened them, and he was somewhere totally different. He had no clue what was going on. He was wearing this uniform, so he kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. They noticed that he was also carrying a different musket. When people started explaining to him that he was in Mexico City, Perez would not believe it. And he actually explained to him that he had received his orders on the morning of the 23rd in Manila, and that it was therefore impossible for him to be in Mexico City on the evening of the 24th. So what happened next was the actual, the authorities there in Mexico City, they placed him under arrest. They accused him of being a deserter, and they actually also accused him of being in the service of Satan, seeing as how he must have practiced black magic in order to teleport halfway across the world in the blink of an eye. So they put him in jail, and he's actually questioned by the Most Holy Tribunal of the Inquisition. And all he could say in his defense was that he had traveled from Manila to Mexico, and I quote, in less time than it takes a cock to crow. So they're holding him in jail, and he's actually in jail for about 2 months when the Manila Galleon shows up in Mexico. Now, if you remember me saying, Das Marinas had sent, I think it was one or two ships a day ahead of him on the travel to Mexico, and one of those had actually shown up. And they finally, and if you don't know what Manila Galleon, they were ships that they specifically used for the trade route from the Philippines to Mexico. Now, the Galleon shows up, and they actually confirmed the fact that Das Marinas, there was a mutiny with the Chinese rowers, and that, you know, Das Marinas was actually killed. Now, one of the gentlemen on the Galleon actually confirmed that Gil Perez had indeed been on duty in Manila just before arriving in Mexico. He actually knew Gil Perez. Another good point is, while he was actually in jail, gave a written transcription. Basically, one of the tribunal, when they were questioning him, they actually sent a friar named Gaspar de San Agustin to basically question him, take the transcript down. Now, remember that name because it's going to play an important role later. And like I said, his name is Friar Gaspar de San Agustin, and basically here's his written testimony. My name is Gil Perez. As to standing sentry here, I am doing as nearly as possible what I was ordered to do. I was ordered this morning to mount guard of the doors of the governor's palace in Manila. I know very well that this is not the governor's palace, and evidently I am not in Manila. Why or how this may be, I do not know. But here I am, and this is a palace of some kind, so I am doing my duty as nearly as possible. Last night, the governor of the Philippines, His Excellency Don Gomez Perez Das Marinas, had his head cracked with an axe and is dead of it. So this being said, his written testimony, he actually had a witness show up that said he was there on the 23rd, and he had actually seen him standing duty. So after his story was pretty much corroborated, they really didn't have any other choice but to let Gil Perez go. Gil Perez eventually went back to the Philippines soon after that and resumed his job, and from what I could find out, actually led a pretty uneventful life after that. Which, if some shit like that happened to you, to be honest with you, I'd be pretty happy with uneventful as well. Now, some of the I tried digging into this to find as much as I could on it. Not even going to lie, there's actually quite a bit of information on this, but it's really weird because supposedly this is documented, okay? Now, I couldn't technically find anything that actually documents it in writing at the time of Gil Perez, but I did find out that it was traced back to 1698, which is a little bit over 100 years of when the incident supposedly happened. Now, how they found out about this was there's basically a book, written in 1698, and it was the account of the Spanish conquest of the Philippines. And the person who actually wrote this was Friar Gaspar de San Agustin, which is the same gentleman who supposedly took the transcript, okay? Or actually took his testimony down. Now, I tried finding out if there were two different people, maybe with the same name. It's hard telling. I really do not know. But I still thought it was a very interesting little tidbit of knowledge there. And the part that gets me is that it was written actually by a friar, meaning this guy was a man of God. And he actually says the story is fact. He didn't actually say a name with the story, though. He kind of left that blank, and he actually attributed the teleportation to witchcraft, which is maybe why he didn't say a name. I'm not too sure. Now, again, I mean, this story actually shows up literally every 50 or 75 years for the last 400 years. Like I said, the earliest I could find was 1698 by the Gaspar de San Agustin. Another actual account of it was in 1609 by a gentleman named Antonio de Morga. He actually wrote that Desmariñas' death was known in Mexico at about the same day, but didn't know how that knowledge had actually gotten there. And just for a side note, de Morga was actually a high-ranking colonial official for 43 years. And he actually became stationed in Mexico in 1604, and he heard this legend, and it really intrigued him. So he started getting into it, started getting into other legends throughout Mexico and the Philippines. And in 1609, he eventually wrote that book. Now, there's pretty much the story and a little bit of back information. Now, here's where things get a little sketchy, all right? Here's the facts, all right? Gomez Desmariñas was actually killed. First of all, a little fact about him. He was the 7th governor and the captain general of the Philippines from June 1st, 1590 to October 25th, 1593, which means he was actually killed on the 25th, not the 23rd, like was claimed, or even the 24th, like was claimed by Gil Perez. Now, given the day difference, over 400 years, not really concerned about that fact. But he actually was killed by his Chinese rowers while he was on the secret mission. They had been plotting it for a few days, and the ship actually had to anchor. So a couple guys escaped. A couple guys jumped off the boat, swam to land. There was actually a priest and another gentleman that locked themselves in the cabin, and the Chinese rebels, as they were called, actually went ahead and let them go. Now, just for a little bit of knowledge bomb, the Chinese rebels, when they returned home, they were actually arrested and returned to the Philippines to face their punishment. So, you know, it did end up, you know, it ended up right, you know, it ended up in the right. So another fact that the Palacio del Gobernador, Gobernador, sorry, the Palacio del Gobernador It was the first residence of the Spanish governor general from 1645 until 1863, which means, or actually an earthquake took it down, which is pretty interesting, which means that in 1593, there's no way that Gil Perez could have been guarding this place. Another little fact about this is the civil guards were local police force organized under the Spanish colonial government, and it was actually formed in 1868 and was disbanded after the Spanish-American War in 1898. So there's no way that he actually could have been wearing this uniform. Now, given those facts, you could almost assume that somebody might have created a story maybe around the mid-1800s, because that would probably fit the description, of the place and the clothes that were worn. So it might have been a story. Nobody really knows. Now, as we do know, there is a difference between urban legends and stories, okay? Stories are usually mostly fiction, made up for the entertainment value. Urban legends, most of the time, are actually, they might be a little warped here and there over time, but they are actually usually derived from some kind of event that actually happened. Now, with the story and the facts in place, let's actually think about this for a second. Okay, a man teleports, has no idea where he is, and supposedly a century later, it is actually written about. So, with that being said, it's kind of interesting just because you have a priest of all people, or a friar. I'm not sure the difference, to be honest with you. I know what a priest is, but back then I'm not sure if friars were monks. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, you have a man of a religious aspect, a respectable man, who's actually writing this as fact, okay? I really have no reason to think that somebody's going to write something to scare people into religion, supposedly 100 years after it happened. With that being said, there's actually a little tidbit of knowledge that says there is actually a document out there that can, actually there's two documents, but it can attest the genuineness of Gil Perez's story. And it can only be found in the archives at Sevilla, Philippines, and in Mexico City. Now, whether anybody has ever seen this or read this is beyond me, but given by, some of the accounts, the Gaspar de San Agustin and Antonio de Morga, it's kind of interesting that somebody like Antonio de Morga, who would actually know nothing about this, actually just kind of poofed up with this knowledge. Now, him being a high-ranking colonial official, you would actually think that he would have access to those kind of documents in those kinds of places, especially like in archives or in some kind of capital building in either country. I also do find that pretty interesting. Now, my whole thing about this is I do think that things are possible that we have no idea about. Teleportation, time travel, you never know, okay? The thing that bothers me about this, and I'm no quantum physicist or anything, but from where I live in Indiana, let's say to the Philippines, it's probably maybe 13 or 14 hour time difference. I'm not 100% sure. Let's say for sake of argument, it's a 12 hour time difference. Now, they are actually ahead, okay? They would be 12 hours ahead of me. Now, with the rotation of the Earth, if he teleported, it would be a pretty safe assumption that if he teleported to Mexico from the Philippines, that he would actually be traveling backward in time, not forward. Like I said, I'm no quantum physicist, but that kind of makes sense to me. And he actually disappeared on the 23rd and reappeared on the 24th, which raises a little bit of questions with me personally. I did quite a bit of digging in about a week, okay? I'm not going to lie, I was researching another episode, an actual disappearance, and somehow I stumbled across this and just had to dig into it for about a week or so, because I find this stuff kind of fascinating. Like I said, sorry it's another short episode, but I just wanted to get this out there. If any of you, I know I have some listeners in the Philippines and in Mexico, if any of you have ever heard of this, I'm sure you have. It's actually, from what I read, there is stuff all over the internet about this. But I have yet to see anybody, like, really, like, debunk it as any kind of, like, story. You know, just any kind of written story. From what I understand, there's pretty good claims going back 400 years about this. How people would even know about teleportation 400 years ago is beyond me. I mean, obviously, if a bunch of priests think you're practicing black magic and in cahoots with the devil, obviously anything is possible. Me personally, I don't think so. I think something weird happened that day. I'm not exactly sure what. Yeah, probably morphed into something greater than what it might have been. But at the same time, when you have an eyewitness account, you have supposed documentation in both cities where it's straight up documented, it's a little bit intriguing. But I know I do have some listeners out there in Mexico and Philippines, like I said. So if anybody has any knowledge on this, I would love for you to get a hold of me. My email is mysteriouscircumstances99@gmail.com. And I would love to hear anything about this. But with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and get off of here for the night. And here in the next few days, try to finish up the actual disappearance case that I was working on before I ran into this somehow. But, I don't know. I suppose I'll see you guys on the flip side.